he. That who is Jesus the Christ. We look on the fact that in our salvation there is a what. Throughout the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and the book of Acts, when men and women were confronted with the Almighty God, the question that usually comes naturally was, what must I do? Or what must I do to be saved? So we have looked on the what, that in our salvation there is a what. We have looked on the fact that in our salvation there is a how. So important is the how, that the how determines whether our work in Jesus Christ amounts to gold, silver, precious stone, or hay, stubble. The how determines that. Now, today, we look on another aspect of our salvation, and that is the where of our salvation. The where of our salvation. Our salvation. There is, in fact, a where to our salvation. In our salvation, and in the salvation of every man and woman, there is a divine where. God has always had specific places or locations where he either blessed, healed, meet man, or place man's salvation, forgive sin, or provide safety. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. The Almighty God has always had a place where one, he meets man. He blesses man. He provides salvation. He provides safety and other things. Sometimes it is not geographical, but times positional. When the Almighty God limits himself to a place, a person, or a thing, it's important that we do not try to get around that place, that person or persons, or that thing. It's important that Christian understand that. It's important that the non-Christian understand that. That throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the Almighty God have this custom, may I, or habit, may I, or purpose, may I, where he limits himself to a particular place, to a particular person or person, or to a particular thing. Now, men and women get carried away in focusing on the wrong thing. People will say, well, God can do this and God can do that. You must meet God at this particular place. Then people will say, but God is great. God is everywhere. The question is never about God's ability. You see, we get carried away and focused on the wrong thing. The question is forever the test of our faith and obedience. And men must understand that. That when God limits himself, in fact, the lesson today, we are going to just look at case after case where God limits himself to a particular place. Huh? That's right. And as I said, if it is a person, if it is a thing, you are carried away, you are focusing on the wrong thing when you talk about God's power, what God can do and what he cannot do. That's never the consideration, God's ability. But man's faith and man's obedience. For example, we beg that you all find the passages as quick as you can, because there are some important points at the end of the lesson, and I would hate to preach a part of this lesson and don't reach to those important points. So what? In man's salvation, there is a place. Let us start way back in the Old Testament. Abraham, more than any Old Testament character, typified or represents the faith and the obedience of the gospel, Abraham. But Abraham was called to change address. What did you say, Mr. Mitchell? Before the Almighty God could use Abraham mightily, Abraham was told by God to change, what did I say? Address. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
The Lord had said unto Abraham,
the Lord had said unto Abraham,
get thee out of thy country.
Read.
And from thy kindred.
Uh-huh.
And from thy father's house.
Uh-huh.
Unto a land that I will show thee.
Isn't that changing a place, brother? Yeah. Leave where you are. Huh? But Mr. Mitchell, God is great. If God wants to bless Abraham, he can do it right where Abraham lives. You are focusing on the wrong thing. God had his reason for asking Abraham to change address, and God did not see any reason he should go in detail in telling Abraham why. Leave your kinfolks, your relatives, and go to where? A place?
From thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee.
What are we talking about? That in our salvation there is a God appointed place. A where? In fact, brothers and sisters, as I said, God has the power to bless Abraham and to make of him a great nation from where Abraham was. But the question is not about God's power. It's about God's will and purpose. Note on the same point, Genesis chapter 22, 1 through 3 and verse 9. Same Abraham.
And it came to pass.
Well, Brother Blake, you noticed a while ago that we were dealing with a place. You notice that? You better notice that. Aware. Now, let us go now to another passage where aware is under consideration. Let us hear it.
And it came to pass after these things.
And it came to pass after these things.
That God did tempt Abraham.
The word, the proper word there would be to test. That's right, because we tend to misunderstand the word tempt. So, yes, God tempted Abraham.
And said unto him.
And said unto him.
Abraham.
Abraham.
And he said, behold, here I am.
Abraham said, I am here, God.
And he said, take now thy son.
Take now thy son.
Thy only son, Isaac.
I'm passing the only one.
Whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah.
But my God, why can't I do what you want me to do right here? You see, brothers and sisters, God has his will. Take thy son to the land of
Moriah.
Moriah.
And offer him there for a burnt
offering. Wait, Brother Blake. You know, I like to give breath, and that's outside sometime a lesson. Take a little longer, a little bit longer than I planned to. You know, this is the same place that Solomon going to build the temple. Am I right? I'm right. This is the same place that Jesus Christ going to be crucified. But the Almighty God did not tell Abraham this. In fact, even if God had told Abraham, Abraham wouldn't understand. Take thy son to the land of Moriah. Read on, brother.
And offer him there for a burnt offering.
And offer him there for a burnt offering.
Upon one of the mountains.
Upon one of the mountains.
Which I will tell thee of.
Just any mountain, Brother Blake?
No.
You will do it where I will tell you. Not just any and anywhere. Is that right? That is what verse, brother?
End of 2.
Read verse 3.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning.
Abraham going to obey God because, you see, my Brother Blake, that was under consideration. Abraham's faith and obedience. You notice Abraham did not waste time to question God. Why can't I do it here? You have the power. What? No, a lot of time we waste time. What is in the water? In fact, I'll be coming to that because Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ has a cemetery. Where he buried people, but he does not leave you buried there. Wait, that's the end of the lesson, but I'll be getting to that. Brothers and sisters, so here we have it. Where God told Abraham where he should take his son Isaac to offer him. It was not left up to Abraham to just choose any and anywhere. What verse is that? Read verse 3.
In the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleared the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him.
I like that, brother. That just that little part. The place where God had told him. Everybody getting it? Read verse 9.
And they came to the place which God had told him of.
That's another verse, you know. That's right. At the end of verse 3, the place where God had told him. At the beginning of verse 9, and he came to where?
The
place that God had told him. Ladies and gentlemen, may I? Any other place would have been the wrong place. It means whatever sacrifice he offered, it would have been rejected. But we need to move on. Are we there? Noah and his family were faith and secure because of where they were. Our visiting friends and young Christians who may not understand, it's important that we get this. What did you just say, Brother Mitchell? Noah and his family were safe and secure simply because of where they were. Genesis, I think, chapter 7. Verse 19. Let us hear it. Genesis 7:19.
And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth.
And the waters prevailed. This is talk about the flood. Prevail how?
Exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Upon the earth.
Upon the earth.
And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven.
There was no mountain so high that the water did not submerge that mountain. Read, brother.
15 cubits upward did the waters prevail.
Uh-huh.
And the mountains were covered.
The mountains were covered. That's verse 19.
End of 20.
Okay, went on now to 21.
And all flesh died that moved upon the earth.
Some of the flesh died.
All flesh.
All the flesh died that was upon the earth.
Both of fowl and of cattle. And
both
of,
the flying things. The cattle, the wild beast,
and every creeping thing that creepeth
upon
the earth,
and anything that creepeth up on the earth,
and every man,
and every human being, they were drowned. They died. What verse is that?
End of 21.
Go on to 22 and 23.
All in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Of all that was in the dry land.
The Bible is trying here to be inclusive. All what?
All in whose nostrils was the breath of life.
All that survived as a result of oxygen. All that breathed to survive. Read.
23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were.
You ask God's word, because here he put the word only. Or is it there in the Bible, brother?
And Noah only remained alive.
If this is everybody's Bible, that's right. Now, but notice this now. Notice this. The brother is not finished. Noah only
remained alive. And they that were with him in the ark.
And they that were with him in the
ark.
In the
ark.
Ark. Are we there? Brother Blake. And all those who have ears to listen. The Almighty God had limited himself to the ark. The Almighty God had placed the salvation of the people in that world in this one boat. But still, I'm afraid of water. You need not be afraid of. When Jesus Christ is in the vessel, you can smile at the storms. God lifted himself to the ark. And the Bible says, read that up on me again, brother.
Noah only remained alive.
Noah only remained alive.
And they that were with him in the
ark. God were with him in a particular thing or place.
Yeah.
In the ark. Is that verse 23?
End of 23.
Read on a little further, brother.
And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days.
Mm-hmm. Wait, 20. You have not read yet 21?
Yes.
Yes. 22?
21 to 24.
Okay, stop there then. So ladies and gentlemen, here we have seen the mighty God have limited himself. You want to say to a particular place in the earth, or if you say to a particular thing, you are just as right. I started the lesson telling you that when the Almighty God limits himself to a particular place, a particular person or person, or a particular thing, never question it. Just relate to it the way God wants you to. Let us move on because we have a lot to cover. The Almighty God again provides safety. The Almighty God provides and security. You know, I use the word safety as a country boy and a really. Now I said safety. And my daughter, Chandi, said, Grandpa, it's not safety, it's safety. So I'm now saying safety. That's right. So, okay, let's leave some of the country back in the country. That's right, the Almighty God provides safety and security. Are we there? What? In a mark. If they are going to be safe, if they are going to be secure, they must find themselves in particular houses. Look at it in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 12. Quick, brother, we have a lot to cover today.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts.
What verse is that?
12 verse 7. Exodus.
That's right. Exodus 12 and verse 7. Read.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts.
Mm-hmm.
And on the upper door posts of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein they shall eat it.
Uh-huh. That's verse 7.
And then
verse 12 now.
For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night.
God says, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. Wait. You notice that the Almighty God told them let me see if I can give you a picture. And this is the door. They shall put it on the post, brother.
They shall strike it on the two side posts.
The two side posts.
And on the upper door posts of the houses.
And the upper door posts of the houses.
Yes.
Read on.
Verse 12.
And there's something about the lintel is in some verse. So I just put it. That's over the door. Our window. That's right. Now, read.
12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt.
God
this
says,
night.
I will pass through the land of Egypt.
This night.
This night.
And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt.
No, wait. You need to get this. God says, the word smite means I'm going to kill all the eldest child in the land of Egypt. And that is, be that child Israelite or Egyptian. Wait now, the Almighty God is making provision for the salvation and the safety of the Israelites. Notice what that they believe what God says and obey it. That's going to make all the difference. So the Almighty God is going to tell them how to secure themselves. Read on, Brother Blake.
Land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt,
uh-huh.
Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord.
Check down to 22 and 23 now.
And he shall take a bunch of hyssop.
You shall take a bunch of hyssop.
And dip it in the blood that is in the basin.
That is, you shall take your paintbrush and dip it in the basin with the blood of the animal.
And strike the lintel and the two side posts.
Strike the lintel and the two side posts.
With the blood that is in the basin.
With the blood that is in the basin.
And none of you shall go out at the door of his house.
I like that, you know, Matthew. Brother Blake, I like that. Punch your teeth through that and say, pan in at the house. But we found people say, stay in the marked house. The one marked with the blood of the animal. The Almighty God says, don't leave your place of safety and security. But God can save people anyway. God has the power. I tell you, that is not the issue. Oh, God has the power. And God says, read the brother where you stop for.
That is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house. Until the morning.
Until the morning.
For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptian.
God will pass through to smite or to kill the Egyptian.
And when he sees the blood upon the lintel.
When he sees the blood up on the lintel.
And on the two side posts.
And on the two side posts.
The Lord will pass over the door.
You all see how important of before this, when the Almighty God had told them to do this. What's the meaning of that? That's foolish. But God is letting them know that your place is a marked place. The destroying angel going to be looked for these marks. You know that was pointing to the blood of Jesus. And we better make sure we get it in baptism. Where I see the blood, what will happen?
The Lord will pass over the door.
The Lord will pass over, hence the word pass over.
And will not suffer the destroyer to come in.
And will not permit the destroying angel to come in that house.
Into your houses to smite you.
Into your houses
to smite you.
To smite you. May I share something here with you? Did you know that if there were some believing Egyptians that found themselves in the house of the Israelite, they would be saved? Simply because they were at the place of safety. That's right. The place marked with the blood of the Lamb. In man's salvation, God has always had this. May we move on. May we move on. The Almighty God further gave the Israelites a place where he would meet them and talk with them. Are we there? Look at the book of Exodus, chapter 29, verse 42 to verse 45. Let us hear it.
This shall be a continual.
Brother Tatum, the Almighty God. Remember, we have looked at Abraham being called upon to change address. We have looked at Noah's family, who were safe and secure because of where they were in the ark that was built by God's command. Not just any and any boat. We have looked at the fact that the Almighty God, now we are looking, the fact that the Almighty God provided safety and security for the Israelites in mark housing. But now, the Almighty God further provided a place. Are we there? We are not there. A place where he would meet with the Israelites and talk with them and give them instruction. Exodus 29 from verse 42 to 45. Let us hear it. You can just as well, in fact, brother, while we are at it, another brother turn to the book of same Exodus chapter 25 and verse 21 through verse 22. Let us hear it.
This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation.
Uh-huh.
At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before
where,
the Lord.
Where, brother? Where?
At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Brother Blake, anywhere else for this burnt offering would be the wrong place. But we are not true. You are in the book of Exodus 29?
Yes,
but you are not true. Go on. You are at verse 42 to 45.
Door of the congregation.
The other brother will turn to chapter 25, verse 21 through 22. In fact, when you turn to 25, if you want to read verse 8 first, then 21 to 22 you may. But let us hear Brother Blake now.
Congregation before the Lord, mm-hmm. where I will meet you to speak there unto
where, thee. Where, what will I do there?
Where I will meet you.
Where, Brother Blake?
At the door.
At the door of the tabernacle. Brother Blake, I'm going to share something with you and this audience. Did you know that Jesus Christ has a tabernacle today? That's right. That's right. And did you know that it is called the Church of Christ?
Amen.
Yes. And did you know that in the same way that the Almighty God and that the Old Testament tabernacle would meet there with his people, with Moses, and he would speak to the Israelites from the tabernacle. Same way today the Almighty God is speaking to men and women through the church. You want me to go to that passage and show you? Just wait until I'm finished with this. Let us hear it, brother.
To speak unto thee.
I will speak unto you from the door of the tabernacle.
And there I will meet with the children of Israel.
Wait, where, brother?
At the door.
Did you all get that? The tabernacle was God's specific place.
Yeah.
Get it and get it good. Because in the book of Hebrews chapter 8, don't turn there yet. The book of Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 9, we are going to be told that Jesus Christ is the builder of the New Testament tabernacle. But wait, Brother Blake, you are not true.
Meet with the children, mm-hmm. the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory.
Uh-huh.
And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar.
Uh-huh.
I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons,
uh-huh.
to minister to me in the priest's office.
Uh-huh.
And I will dwell among the children of Israel.
The Almighty God, the tabernacle was the place that God dwelt. It represented God's dwelling place among the Israelites. Huh? Oh, Lord. What verse is that?
45.
May I sing Psalm 80. Yes, brother, I've told you to turn to chapter 25. But wait, do you know it's important? Some Christians may not know this, or visiting friends may not know this. That Jesus Christ, listen, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 16. And that passage is quoting from Exodus. Let us hear it. 6:16, 2 Corinthians.
And what agreement had the temple of God with idols?
Watch here, wait, Brother Blake. You remember that he would dwell with them?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That was Exodus 29, which you have just read. And I will speak to them there, and etc. The Holy Spirit through Paul took up this, looking on the Old Testament tabernacle and how God related to the children of Israel from that tabernacle. Listen to him now.
And what agreement had the temple of God with idols?
Uh-huh.
For ye are the temple of the living God.
Christians are the temple of the living God. That is, you are Christ tabernacle.
Living God, as God has said.
Wait. In the same way, God did what?
I will
dwell.
As God has said, I will dwell in them.
Do you know that he's quoting from a statement taken from the Old Testament word of God in respect to the Old Testament tabernacle? That the Bible here is saying, in the same way the Almighty God dwells among the children of Israel through the tabernacle and spoke to them through the tabernacle, same way now Jesus Christ is dwelling or among us through the church, speaking to us through the church. Read it, brother.
And he has said, I will dwell in them.
I will dwell in them.
And walk in them.
I will walk in them.
And I will be their God.
And I will be their God. And they shall be my
people.
Ladies and gentlemen, same thing. The church today is God's tabernacle. Do I need to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 8? Verse 1 and 2. I wish I could stick this, but if you have it, read it, brother.
A minister of the sanctuary.
A minister. That is not me. That's right. I'm a minister, but this minister here is not me. It's Jesus Christ. A minister of the
sanctuary.
And of the
true tabernacle.
You all hear that talk about the church. Jesus Christ is a minister of the true tabernacle.
Which the Lord pitched.
Which Jesus Christ himself erected or built, not man.
Forever.
Wait, brother. You better make sure you are in the church that Jesus Christ built. Very important. That's right. For the Almighty God told the Israelites, I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to talk with you there at the tabernacle. I'm going to instruct you there. I'm going to dwell among you there. Same way today, the church. God is speaking to men today through the church. These things, you know, help me. These things write I unto thee. I am hoping to come to you shortly, but in case I tarry, in case I stay longer than I plan, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the church, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It is not under the church of the living God. It is the pillar. And it is the territory. But Brother Mitchell, it didn't say territory. It says ground. That's exactly what the word territory means. I'm quoting from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I start at verse 14. These things write I unto thee, I'm planning to... If you have it, read it then, brother, since you have it.
These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth.
Y'all hear that? The church is the pillar of God's truth to save you. It is the ground, which means it is the territory. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God limits himself to the church when it comes to the truth. If you want to be properly taught, you must find the church of Christ. Listen what the Bible says about the church of Christ in the book of Ephesians. And it is chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Let us have it.
And to make all men see.
And to make all men see.
What is the fellowship of the mystery?
What is the fellowship of the mystery?
Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God.
Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
The same God who created all things by Jesus.
To the intent.
With this in mind.
That
wait. When the Bible says to the intent, it means God have this in view. What did he have in view?
That now. Unto the principalities and powers in heaven.
Unto the principalities and powers.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
Might be known by the church.
Might be known by the church. Wait. You must not forget that in verse 10, it talks about all men. Let's just verse 10 again.
And to make all men see.
Thank you, brother. Just this, so first, it talks about all men. Then now, it talks about the principalities and powers. That is, talk about angels. Might be known by the
church.
Church!
The manifold wisdom of God.
Brother Blake. Now is your attention I need. Do I have it? If men and angels going to know God's saving truth, the church is the place or the institution that God is revealing that. All men, principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by what, brother?
By the church.
By the church.
The wisdom
of God.
Okay.
What is the point? In the same way the Almighty God used the tabernacle as the place where instruction came from for the Israelites. The place that represents God's dwelling among them. Same way the church today. If you want to be instructed, you must see the church. Because it is the pillar and it is the ground of the truth. What is the point? The Almighty God provided and gave Israel a place where he would meet with them and talk with them. Am I right? But there is another point. God made provision for the safety and the refuge of the guilty Israelites in specific places. Somebody didn't hear that. The Almighty God made provision for the safety and the refuge of what Israelites? The guilty one. The guilty Israelites. Watch here now in the book of Numbers. Chapter 35, verse 6, verse 11, verse 15. Verse 6, verse 11, verse 15. Let me hear it, brother.
And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities of refuge.
Wait. 6 cities.
Refuge.
6 of them. 6 cities of refuge. Who provides those? God. Listen some more.
Which he shall appoint for the manslayer.
For who?
For the manslayer.
You know who that is? Somebody who killed somebody, but it was not premeditated. The person was guilty of murder, but it was not premeditated. It was not done out of hate and bitterness. It was done out of anger. What verse is that?
That's 6.
Okay, I've told you.
Well, 6 verse.
6 finished. 11 now.
Well, finishing 6.
Finish 6.
That he may flee thither.
That he may flee
thither
That is when the Israelites out of vexation kill a man when he didn't plan to. He could run for safety and refuge to the city of refuge.
And to them ye shall add 42 cities.
Mm-hmm. Read
verse 11. Then ye shall appoint you cities to you cities to be cities of refuge for you.
Wait, are you following the lesson? That God limits himself to specific places? You get it? And that has always been a part of God's plan. That when he says, don't move, you know, a specific place for your safety, for your security, for your refuge, for your salvation, for your healing, you better don't question God. Read, brother.
That he may appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you,
mm-hmm.
that the slayer may flee thither and killeth any person at unawares.
Unaware. It was not premeditated. Step down to verse 15.
These six cities shall be refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the strangers.
You all get it. Brother Michel, 155. Jesus Christ. And his church. Wait, don't move, no, brother, don't move. read. When 15 finish? You have finished 15?
No. Both read. For the children of Israel and for the stranger.
Both the stranger.
And for the sojourner.
And for the traveler.
That everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither.
Isn't that wonderful how gracious God is? Huh? But all of this, don't know, you know, was only typical. It was pointing to refuge in Jesus Christ and his church in the New Testament. But you know, we are finding interesting, brother, verse 25. Through 28, quick.
And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood.
That means, wait, get this. Oh Lord, it doesn't matter how a man try. You know. Because there are some important things left in this lesson. The Old Testament. Remember, we have not come yet to the New Testament. Show that God has this place. That's right. And we may not get to that today, but let me tell you, if it is Satan working on my time for me to skip those good preaching, we're going to listen to it, not today. Yeah. Wait, no, the brothers just read verse 25.
And
that the congregation, those in the city of refuge, if the person appointed to kill the murderer enter the city of refuge. Are we there? You are not there. The congregation shall go and hold the slayer and take away the man from. You have no right to come into the city of refuge to catch anybody to kill them. God provide those cities for safety and refuge and security. Read, brother.
The congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge,
uh-huh.
whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was appointed.
Oh Lord, you know, that's a sermon by itself. He shall abide where, brother Wade?
In the
city of refuge. Once you are guilty and you escape the punishment by fleeing to the city of refuge, don't leave the city of refuge. When you get in Jesus Christ and the church, don't think of backsliding. Please. Because Satan is dead to catch you out there. Finish it all, brother.
But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge.
You get it, brother Webb? If I kill a man out of vexation then, and I run to where God provided safety and security, and then I get tired, I want to visit some friend in another city. And they say, well, you know, I'm going to do it at night when the city of refuge, nobody expects me. But the slayer appointed, watch those gates day and night. And I came out, remember, I shouldn't leave the place of safety. And he catched me outside. Watch here.
And the revenger of blood found him without the borders of the city of his refuge. And the revenger of blood killed the slayer.
Yes.
He shall not be guilty of blood.
The slayer who killed the man who left the city of refuge
guilty.
Huh?
Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest.
Oh Lord, have mercy. God has revealed to us from here, make a man want to preach all month, not just all day, brother. Oh Lord, you know, I like that, brother, when he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Are you thinking, Brother Cunningham, what I'm thinking, that our high priest doesn't die? So we must say, once we get in Christ and get in the church, we stay there indefinitely. Our high priest does die. Let me close with one passage to help you understand that these were types of Christ and the church. The city of refuge, Hebrews chapter 6, if my memory serves me right. And it is verse chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19. Last passage.
That by two immutable things,
mm-hmm.
in which it was impossible for God to lie,
mm-hmm.
we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Brother Webb, you notice the word fled? Huh?
Who have fled.
Do you want me to take you back? If you take me, I'll take you back to Numbers to show you it was the same term used. That they were fled, they were, when a man kill a man by accident, he fled to one of the cities of refuge. Those cities of refuge were types of Jesus Christ, pointing to Christ and the church. Huh? So you fled to Christ. But Brother Mitchell, Jesus Christ is not here for me to get into him. That's why he has left his body.
Amen.
That's why he has left his body, the church. So when you get in the church, you get in Christ. The city of refuge, our refuge. God has always provided a place where he needs man. Be it with healing, with safety, with forgiveness, with cleansing, or with salvation. I close today, while the message is not finished, I close today with the two verses in Hebrews chapter 6, 18 and 19, which the brother has just read, to let you know that Jesus Christ, in Christ, is your city of refuge. In Christ is the place where you are safe from the wrath of the Almighty God. The Almighty God tells you how to get there. Galatians chapter 3, 27. Well, read 26.
For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Where are we the children of God?
By faith in Christ Jesus.
Where are we the children of God?
For
Where are we the children of God?
In Christ Jesus.
Everybody gets that? Because, don't move, He's our city of refuge. Read on. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
For as many,
but Brother Mitchell, how do I get here? He's gone back to heaven. Read on.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
As many of you as have been baptized where?
Into Christ.
Do you see how you get in Christ? You are baptized into Christ. Do I need to turn to Corinthians to tell you 12 verses? That by one Spirit, the administration of one Spirit, where we are baptized in what? One body. So you just Christ today, your city of refuge. But keeping mind, God has always had a place. And we are not true. When we pick up on this lesson next week, God's willing, there are some wonderful truths from the New Testament. We'll be talking about the fact that the Almighty God has a cemetery today, Jesus Christ. That's right, where He buried dead people. But one of the differences between Jesus' cemetery and man's cemetery is that Jesus doesn't leave you dead there. You need to come. Next week when we pick up, we are going to show you in the book of Jeremiah that you can be in danger merely because of the place that you are. We are going to learn this from the mouth of God. The very place that you are, you can find yourself in. God has given you enough to say that God has His where or His place that He has fixed for our salvation. I'm so tempted to give you a hint of what is to come. Did you read? Have your invitation ready, brother. Did you read? Brother Eric. That the Almighty God not only has a place, but He tells us that Christ blessed us in heavenly what? So Brother Webb, people have to make sure that they get there. That is taste of what is to come in the other lesson. That Jesus Christ has, in fact, every sentence I make, I'm tempted. Anyway, the invitation will be from now. Yes. I'm saying to you that you need to submit yourself to God's place for your safety. To God's place for your refuge. To God's place for your salvation and forgiveness. It is in Jesus Christ. And by